turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, and verse 17 and verse number 18. I'd like to preach about the preaching of the gospel versus contemporary music, especially contemporary religious music. That's what we want to think about. I know that a lot of people today, they like a lot of music, and I do too. I really do like music. I guess as I've gotten a little bit older, though, a lot of the country, I don't listen to a lot of country. I don't listen to a lot of Western. I used to listen to that some, but I don't listen to that much anymore. But a lot of contemporary gospel music is not really gospel music. It's really not. I know that there's a lot of songs that I don't know. There's a lot of songs that I don't want to learn, actually. I'm not saying that every new song is a wrong song. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the contemporary music, sometimes it puts... well, it's a different atmosphere about worship, is what it amounts to. I know that in the history of music, there's been a lot of controversy about different kinds of music. Even the music that we sing today, at one time, was brand new. I know that at one time, it was not even accepted. The kind of music that we like to sing in our own church, it was a kind that was not generally accepted at all. I understand that. So I'm not necessarily against anything that's new. I don't want you to get that idea at all. But a lot of the worship services today are a little bit different than ours, I think. So let's read what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 and 18 as we broach on this subject. The Bible said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach what? But to preach the gospel, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, as we think on this subject, you think that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It is nothing at all. I think it's really something special. Unto us which are saved, Paul wrote this. I didn't write it. Paul did. Paul said, "Unto us which are saved, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God." And that's what it amounts to. Amen. So we want to understand what we're talking about. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we ask Him to lead us tonight. Our precious Father, Lord, I thank You for the way You've dealt with us. Lord, I thank You for the way that You showed to us the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we might not just cling to the old ways, which we think is old ways, but rather, Lord, we might cling to You instead. Lord, I pray that You might help us to have clearness of mind as we think about this subject, that we might understand what You want us to understand about it all. Lord, I pray that You just forgive us for our many sins, watch over, bless, keep us close to You tonight. And Lord, I pray that if there are those who are lost tonight in this service, that You might touch them, Lord, that You might bring them to You with saving faith. Just forgive us now for our many sins, where we failed You. Help us to be the kind of people that You desire us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want you to think about something tonight. As we're thinking about the music that we have, and I like our music, but many churches use music in order to draw people unto their services. This is not what we're supposed to do. A lot of people go to church to hear a certain kind of music. That's not what we're supposed to do either. The Bible verse that we read to you tonight, I think, is very typical of what we need to be doing. The Bible says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Anything that we do should point people to Christ. I mean, that's the whole purpose of our meeting together. That's the whole purpose of our worship. Is not for people to say, "Boy, that bunch can really sing good." No, that's not the purpose of it at all. The purpose of it all is that people might say that they're glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in our singing. I mean, that's why we sing. That's why we do that. The purpose of preaching is never to have the people to say they have a good preacher. That is not the reason. But always to point people unto Christ and to Christ alone. He's the only one that we're ever here to be, to worship. The reason that we're here together is not that people might say, "That bunch has it all together." No, the reason that we're here is that people might say, "This people is here to worship God." That's the reason for it all. That's what Paul is saying. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." I think of churches when I think of this. I think of churches that meet together. I call them churches because they call themselves churches. They meet together for what reason? I really don't know. I'm thankful for our church. I really am. I tell you what, more thankful than you can ever know. You know, one thing that I think about is that the people that come on Sunday morning, you know what? They're going to be back on Sunday night. That thrills me. I know you don't come to hear me. I know you don't come to sing. I know that you come to worship God. And God is the one that counts. The ones that come on Sunday, you know what? On Wednesday night, they're going to be back. The same ones. That is a thrill to me. I've never gotten over that. I've been in churches that have a whole bunch of people coming on Sunday morning, or Sunday night, that have a little bit less. Well, sometimes quite a bit less. But on Wednesday night, well, if they had Wednesday night services, there's even fewer. But the thing about it is that we come together to worship God. I mean, that's what it's all about. But people look at the preaching of the cross of Christ and they think, "Well, why don't you do something else?" I really don't know what else to do. I don't know. I mean, God has called me to preach. And I don't know why He did that, but I know that He did that. I'm thankful that you have supplied for us all these years that we could preach the gospel. It's a blessing. But a lot of people, they look at preaching as if it's foolishness today. I believe that. They look at preaching as if it's foolishness. To what? The Bible says, "But to us that are saved, it is the power of God." I mean, it's a thrill to hear somebody just preach the Word of God. You know, you think about preaching versus contemporary music. John the Baptist, he always started his services with a song. Right? I'm speaking. I know you're looking at me kind of funny. Did John the Baptist, did they have singing back there in those days? I think they did have singing. Did John the Baptist, he was a great choir director, right? And he had a great choir that could really sing out, right? I don't find that. I don't find it written in the Bible like that, that he ever had. I don't think that John the Baptist was concerned with what he looked like, or with what he ate, or how that people perceived him to be. But he had something else on his mind. That is, he wanted to do exactly what God told him to do. And that's all that John the Baptist had on his mind. John the Baptist didn't use any kind of music at all, as far as I know. Now, I know that John the Baptist had music. I know that there was music in those days. I know that so. You know, Jesus Christ never used music to get people to listen to Him first. Did He? Now, the reason I know there was music in those days was because that Jesus Christ, after He gave the Lord's Supper, He sang. Right? He sang with them. Oh, but that was singing after the service and not before. Right? I think it was. You think of the Jewish synagogue in that day. You think of the time when Christ went into the temple and He preached, right? What kind of singing did they have? I don't know either. Maybe I am missing the point there. But it seems to me that the idea that people have today, that music draws people in, actually, I had a fellow tell me this one time. His wife was a part of the music in their church. And one time, and maybe more times than that, I don't know, he told me this one time, he said, the music director, he said, now, the worship is over, preacher, it's your turn. Huh? Why? Because they had just finished singing. And the song leader said, now the worship is over, preacher, it's now your time. I think that's pretty low. Amen. I think they've missed the point. Amen. About what preaching is, about what singing is. They've missed it. Altogether, when people think that singing, the singing part, is the only part of worship there is, they have missed it. Absolutely so. I tell you what, if you don't worship when you sing, there's something wrong with your singing. Whether you sing on key or off key, it don't make me any difference. I don't think God even cares. But God wants you to sing with a joyful heart unto Him. That's worship. That's what it amounts to. But the church, now, if John the Baptist didn't have any singing, and Jesus didn't have any singing, I wonder how much singing they had on the day of Pentecost. I wonder. You know, when I read in the scriptures about what happened on the day of Pentecost, there was no mention made of any kind of singing. Now, I'm not doubting singing. I don't want you to think that, because I love to sing. I love the music. But it seems to me that the most important part of all is the preaching of the Word of God. And that's not because I'm a preacher that I'm saying that. I'm saying that because evidently that's what's true. At least in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 17, verse number 18, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And really, baptizing is important just as singing is important. But the Bible says, but to preach the gospel. Paul was not sent to baptize. He was sent to preach the gospel. Preaching is the most important part there is. We need to understand that. I'm not elevating my position at all. The Bible says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And so, the preaching should not be done with eloquence. Just preach the Word of God. That's more important than anything else. That's what people need. It's the Word of God. Absolutely so. I think in Acts 16, Acts 16, yes, Acts 16, right. Look in verse number 25. Here's a time that there was some singing done. It wasn't in church. It was in jail. But it was not done in church. I think they were worshiping God. I think they were adoring God. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So I wonder what kind of instruments they had to help them out there. Now think of this. Here is Paul and Silas. And I don't know what kind of voice they had at all, but they had no instruments at all. None. I don't know if they sounded on key or off key. I don't know what chord they were in, have no idea. But they sang praises unto God. You know what? God heard it, and God liked it. Amen. And that's what counts. Amen. So, well, what if they didn't sound very good? So, I think they sounded good to God. Amen. I think that's what counts. Sound good to God. So how do you sound good to God? It's not the tone of your voice that makes a difference. I know we get the idea that if all we can really worship is if we get to sing right. Well, just open your mouth and let her fly. I mean, God knows the difference. God knows from your heart whether you're really worshiping Him or not. God knows whether you're happy or not. God knows whether you're worshiping Him or not. Is that not what really counts? To me, it does. To me, that's everything. That's everything. And here, we find two guys, can you believe? They were in jail, locked up, tight, but they sang praises unto God. What did they sound like? God heard it. God liked it. Is that not what counts? I tell you what, that counts. I mean, that counts. God hears us when we pray. when we sing. That's a real blessing. I'm thankful that God heard all that. You know, when you sing, understand that God hears from your heart what you're really saying for Him. And that's what really counts. A while back, it was a couple of years ago. Well, it could have been. Now, it could have been 15 years ago, as far as I know. I don't know. But I spoke to a man up at Wright City. And we were just talking. And when he found out that I was a preacher, listen, you don't know what that means. But when people find out I'm a preacher, they quit cussing. They quit all that stuff. You know, it's just pitiful. But this guy started telling immediately about all the good things that he was doing in their church. And I thought, okay. So I listened to him for a while, and he kept talking. And he said that they had gone into their church building, and they had put in amps, microphones. They had spent, and I really don't know when he told me this, but it was, I know it was 10 years ago. I know he told me that they spent $10,000 redoing all the acoustics in their building and making it all sound real good to bring in a lot of good music and all that kind of. He said he was instrumental in doing that. That they actually went out into the community and they did a survey of what people wanted in church. And that's what they found out, that they wanted music, and that's why they developed this whole system of music. The guy was satisfied when he got all done with that. And I asked him one question that left him totally blown. I mean, this guy didn't know what even say. I said, "When were you saved?" That's what I asked him. Because I didn't know he was saved. I asked him, "When were you saved? I want to know when you're saved." And he just lost it. He did not know. And he told me, he said, "I don't know if I've ever been saved." I said, "You're in the church. You're in the church. You're the leader in getting all this music in here. And you don't even know if you're saved?" Now, what do you think he needed? Well, he needed to know the Lord before he knew anything else. I mean, that's just the truth of it. That's why the preaching of the gospel is so vitally important. It's more important than all kinds of music. Having the gospel is more important than anything else. Knowing that you're saved before you try to do anything else is vitally important. It might have been about that same time. Maybe it's later. It might have been sooner than that. I'm thinking of another example. But there were two women that lived in Warrington, I think, or in that area somewhere. They went way down to St. Peter to church. And I don't know why they was going that far, but that's where they were going, to church down there. But one Sunday, they were late, and they knew they couldn't make it to church on time, and so they stopped here. And they listened to the singing, and they heard me preach. But now, I found this out later, because I visited them, I talked to them, and while they were coming to church, they had something that they had a question in their mind about something. I don't know what it was. I have no idea what it was. It's been so many years, I forgot all that. But I remember them telling me later that I preached on what they talked about coming to church. And I thought, well, I couldn't have known. There's no way. But God knew. But that kind of caused them to want to come back. And so they came back. And you know what? They were coming to church. And the second time they were coming, they were talking about something. And you know what I did? I got up and I preached on exactly what they were talking about. And I did not know that. I did not know they had it on their mind. I did not know that. And I found that out later. I visited them in Warrington. I think it's Warrington where they lived. But I visited them. That's when they told me this story. And they said that they were very interested in just how I knew that. I didn't know it. I mean, I've known preachers before that they had an outline already for when somebody comes, they're going to preach it to them. You know, I don't do that. Because what I preach is this. Whoever comes, you've got a whole bucket full. I mean, that's all I know to do. You get it. But they told me about that. And they came to services several times. They came several times. But they quit coming. I went back to see them again. And they told me why they quit. They said, "We love your services. We just, and your preaching is really good. We enjoy the fellowship. We feel like we're really growing." That's what they told me. They feel like that this is where we need to be, but we don't like your singing. They didn't like the congregational singing that we have. They didn't like it. They'd rather go on down to other churches, St. Peter's. I think it's St. Peter's, where they were going, where they could enjoy the singing, but they didn't get the preaching. That was strange. That was strange. But that's where it is. The singing that we have at Independence Baptist Church is just the way it is. It's been this way for a long time. I hope it never changes. I really do. I hope it never changes. I've been to other places. And however anybody wants to do it, suits me fine. But I like the way we do it. I do. I like just plain singing all the way that God wants us to do it. Well, let's look in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. And this scripture tells us about some music. In Genesis, chapter number 4, it tells us something about it, just a little bit. The Bible says, in Genesis 4, and verse number 19. Genesis 4, verse number 19. The Bible said, "And Lamech took unto him two wives." That ought to give you a hint about what you think about this guy. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada. The name of the other was Zilda. And Ada bare Jabal. And he was the father of such as handled, that dwelt in tents, and such as had cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zilah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain, and was Naaman. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurting. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7-fold. So I will read the whole thing to you, so you understand that these are not godly people. While it's true that there's ungodly music, there's also godly music. Now, oftentimes when I'm studying in the study, I have a Christian radio station on my computer. It's called Old Christian Radio. Old Christian Music, whatever. It's down in Texas. And that's what they have. It's just music. It's just godly music. It's singing, instrumentals. But all of it, we would approve of very well. None of it is bad. Actually, I was trying to think of the guy's name that put that website on the air. I can't think of it. But anyway, he goes through every album that they have. And if it's not a fit album, if it's not good music, he does not put it on this radio station at all. He doesn't do that. I listen to that quite a bit. But it lets you know that there's good and bad music as well. But I think today that a lot of music that's in churches is not good. I think a lot of it's not good. But that's my opinion. You may have a different one, but that's what I think. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3, and verse 15. Notice this. Daniel 3, and verse number 15. You see, music can be good or bad. Music can draw us out in ways that we don't even realize. Music can. That's why it's so very important that you listen to good music and not a bunch of rock and roll. You know, I knew a guy one time. Oh, I can't think of the group that he listened to a lot. But after he was saved, you know the first thing he did? He went out into his car and he took those... it's so long ago, I don't remember. But it was some. I guess it was tapes in those days. But he took those tapes and just threw them away. But a lot of people listen to those kind of tapes. I tell you what... the Beach Boys and all that kind of stuff, that's not of God. It's not of God. You can say that it is, but it's not of God. He threw them away. He did that right after he was saved. And this guy, he was a member of the church when the Lord saved his soul. But he realized when he put those things in the first time he told me, he said, that is not any good. His wife had told him that for a long time. He wouldn't believe it. But as soon as he was saved, he heard that and he said, this is not any good. He just took it out, threw it away. That's what we ought to do. So there's good music and there's bad music. Understand that that's so. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, and verse 26, just well, Daniel 3. I thought I was in the wrong place. Daniel 3 and verse number 15. That's it. Daniel 3 and verse number 15. Now here is a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are having some trouble. They're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace unless they bow down and worship the images that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Nebuchadnezzar said in verse number 15, now, if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Now listen, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with those instruments. Nothing. It's not the instrument. It's what they were used for. It's what makes a difference. I tell you this. In our church, we have this piano. Right? But if we had an orchestra to play all kinds of music, there is nothing wrong with that. We don't have enough people to play them. If we had all those people up here, there'd be nobody out there. It wouldn't work very good. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, don't be thinking that just because these instruments are used in a wrong way, that they are wrong. You could use this piano in a wrong way. You could play honky-tonk on this piano. And that'd be wrong. All right. Verse number 15, the middle part. Said, "You fall down and worship the image which I have made." See, that's right there. That is a reason that the sound is wrong. It's the worship of a false god. That's what it's all about. Said, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And I think Brian makes it very clear this morning what God it was. It's the real God that takes care of that. And He does. Boy, He does a great job of it. In verse 16, "Shall that Meshach and Abednego," they answered, "We're not careful." Isn't it amazing? That three guys were agreed that if you kill us, that's fine. They had the same mind. You know why? Because they were serving the same God. That's right. That's right. That's just like, we can have the same exact mind if we're serving the same God. That's what it's all about. It's doing what God wants us to do first. God will take care of all the rest of it. And my, He did that. He did that very well. But look in, I just read that verse. Look in Psalm 150. Psalms 150. Look what the Bible says here in this place. Psalms 150. The Bible said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary." That's in the house of God. "Praise Him in the firmament of His power." Praise Him outside as well. Verse number 2. "Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness." Praise Him. Now look. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. There is nothing wrong with a trumpet. Nothing wrong with a saxophone. Nothing wrong with a drum. They can all praise God. That's what the Bible says. I know, they can be misused. A piano can too. An organ can too. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. What? With a dance? Well, you think about that. David danced before the Lord. That's right. Sometimes I think we put limits on God and what is acceptable and what God won't accept. But we need to look at it from God's viewpoint. God said, "You praise Him with the timbrel and the dance." You praise Him. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him. The piano is a stringed instrument, the guitar, and organs, anything that you pump air into. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Wow! Boy, that's a whole bunch of stuff we can praise the Lord with. And that's what it's all about, is honoring and glorifying the Lord because God has made it all. Praise Him with that. Praise Him upon the highest sounding cymbals, that everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, anything can be used to praise the Lord. Anything. That same thing can be used not to worship the Lord. Did you understand that so? I think we need to be very careful about the style of music as well. It's not just Southern gospel that we can sing. It's not just that we can use a piano. But anything, any way that we can worship the Lord with, that's what it's all about. I think the important thing is to make sure that we're worshiping God. It's not the style of music. It's not the musician. But it's in our heart, where we worship the Lord. That's what we need to be careful about doing, is that we just praise His name. Well, I think we'll just quit with that. But however that you do it, you need to rest assured that God sees more than just hears, that God sees your heart as well. You're not going to hide anything from God. God knows you. He knows when you're aggravated. He knows when you're not. And God wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what He really wants. Whether you sound good or not, God wants you to give the best that you have to the Lord. I mean, that's it. If you're lost, the message has not been to you. But if you're lost tonight, all we can do is pray for you. That the Lord would touch your heart. That the Lord would make it real for you. That God would bless you tonight with salvation. I pray for you. I want you to know it. That I pray for you. That God will bless you tonight. That you might be saved. As we stand and sing, Brother Brian is going to lead us in a song. Sing with your heart to the Lord. Because He is a great God. Sing to Him. Sing to God. Let's stand, if you wish, we sing. If you would, and take the hymn book and just sing out for the Lord. If you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart, that you might be saved this very night. Okay? Number seven.